This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
And welcome to Cody and Gold. Jay Binkley, Logan Weber, Drew Nixon. Note Cody and Gold, they're in California. Good morning, Logan.
Good morning.
It's
yeah,
the
good
gorilla
on those
and the
guys.
Bearcat. You were out there commencing with other bearcats in there.
That's true.
They were putting two and two together.
There's a lot of us around here. I never really noticed that.
There's not a lot of gorillas, but we get a lot of bearcats.
Well, you know, I don't think Pitt State has the highest graduation rate.
Well,
so.
Logan, that's not very nice. Not very nice, but I will say this, and I'd like to start with ripping on Drew Nixon.
That's always a good way to kick
it off. It's a great way to start a show. Drew, I got a bone to pick with you. I discussed this with Logan earlier, too. So we're sitting there. You get up and say, you got to go. I was like, okay, where are you going? He says, I'm going to get my Code Red Mountain Dew. I was like, okay, I love Mountain Dew. It's my favorite thing in the world, by the way. And they changed labels, by the way. Did you know this, Drew? It now says Mountain. They spell out Mountain instead of MTN. So it's not the whole new age, ROTFL, LOL. It's spell out the word mountain. So you leave. You looked at Logan. You looked at me. And you never offered, hey, guys, can I get you something? Do you mind if I get you something at Quick Trip? You didn't offer. I guess you're not a team player.
You didn't ask.
Character concern. Well, you didn't offer. Character concerns are high with you. My guess is if we gave you cash, you're probably using a credit card because no kid your age carries cash. You just don't do it.
Dead serious. I have cash right now in my wallet.
I'm shocked. But you did not offer Logan one thing or me. I was pretty upset by it, actually.
I could have taken a handful of some buffalo chicken bites for sure.
I would have done
the old
how
QT.
Much is that?
Good breakfast biscuit. Dusty Likens sitting right behind you. Dusty would ask. Dusty always asks.
Of all the things to ask for, you're asking for something that's like $7.50 at Quick Trip.
Well, if you give you the money.
Buffalo chicken bites are like $2.99 for the first one, and then they're like $1 a piece after that.
First of all,
they're absolute gas.
I'm not. Could I have offered? Sure, but you didn't ask. If you'd asked, it would have been fine. I just said sure.
Do we have to ask, though? It's just something around the station, Drew. Around the station, back when we were 16 sports, back in the day, right? People like Dustman here, and I did, and Vern, whatever. Hey, can I get you something at Quick Trip?
Bink,
we all offered. It was something we did here. But nowadays, I guess things are different.
Bink, I have gone to the gas station before when I have worked with you, and you have asked me plenty of times, can I get you some chew? Can you get me a Mountain Dew?
Which is funny because a lot of you guys buy your first can of chew with me around.
Yes, I went and I bought a can. Yes, I went and I purchased a can of chew that I was not intending to use at all whatsoever.
Alex Gold had to do it too one day.
Yes.
Drew, I'm just giving you a hard time.
I'm not giving you a hard time.
Think,
I thought it was pretty rude.
I think Bink feels more strongly about this than
evidently
I do.
Evidently so, because you brought it up. That's the first thing. We didn't even get into the show at all.
No, we didn't, because I wanted to address the issue at hand. You sit back there. You're a big Cody and Gold guy. You probably ask those guys, hey, Cody, what can I grab you? Hey, Gold, what's up, man? What can I get you at Quick Trip?
Traditionally, no, I don't ask. But if you want something and you say, hey, do you mind getting this for me? I have no problem doing it. I don't. Right. I just, you know.
Do you mind going now?
If you guys can survive for 15 minutes, I'm not sure Spec would approve, but I mean,
I think that's a bad idea.
If you guys can survive for 10 minutes, then
Logan can do everything. Logan can run the board. He can do
just,
everything.
You want me to just run Logan, back and forth?
Yeah, because Logan's the man. He can do everything.
Well, no, I wouldn't have you guys do. I would. We have our segments are the way that our show works. I'd have enough time to run on over there. Why you?
All right.
As he just cracks open his Red Bull. So he obviously.
I crack my Red Bull. You got your Mountain Dew. Let me tell you this. How's this sound?
Lead at first. In comes the pitch. Jammed him in a high pop up on the infield. And it's off the glove of the second baseman. They're going to throw the ball to second widely. They had a force play there. And here you go. The White Sox are on the verge of burping up this game. It's the old story, folks. He squares to body, gets it down. How are they going to mess this one up? No throw. Boozer picked it up, had no play. And the bases are loaded. And the White Sox are on the verge of handing the Royals the game. So I started to say, it's a familiar refrain, same old story. Good teams figure out a way to win in the late innings. Bad teams figure out a way to lose in the late innings. And boy, if we haven't seen a perfect example of that right here in front of us in the last 5 minutes, then you need another videotape, because this is just a perfect example. Jake, you said it off air. You said that might be the worst ninth inning of any major league game I have ever seen. And I've seen a few, and it would probably make my top five. That was
it's up there.
It was embarrassing.
All right, this guy's in the Hall of Fame. Denny Matthews is in the Hall of Fame. He's seen a lot of baseball. Yeah. Matter of fact, he's seen basically every Royals game since the inception of the team. And he would say this would have to be top five. Okay, it is must watch TV. If you're watching, it's like, all right, just hanging there close. The White Sox can find a way to screw this up. But that's Denny saying, is there find a way to burp this game away? Kind of like Drew burped away this morning by not offering us thing. By the way, the text line is roasting you. But they...
You can go ahead, you guys.
Denny Matthews was so awesome there.
Fine.
And he was so right. I'm watching this. I'm sitting here going, Logan, you know, we laughed about the White Sox yesterday. I call him America's Booty Call, and I've called him that for the last couple of years. And you know what? They deserve that moniker, because they truly are.
Oh, yeah.
They are. They feel good. Oh, the White Sox are coming to town. Seriously, that is that girl that you call, you 3 a.m. girl. That it's a given.
Yeah.
The White Sox are a given. They suck. They proved it last night. It's why I said they don't deserve to wear those Bulls jerseys on Friday night in their home games, because no team should be disrespected by that clown show wearing their uniforms. Ball hitting off the noggin.
Yeah.
Guys getting pulled off the base to throw. The Royals, that was there, as Denny said, burped it away. I don't know about you, Logan, but that was, I was watching that. I was like, perfect for the show tomorrow.
Watching the Chicago White Sox play baseball, it reminds me of, and like my dad is this way. I don't know if you guys are like Fail Army, those people that like love to watch videos of car crashes or train derailments, or you just like to watch the chaos. That is the Chicago White Sox, because you know something chaotic is going to happen. You know that it's going to happen adversely against the Chicago White Sox, and you're still there for it. I mean, they are the ultimate palate cleanser. Whether you are playing great baseball, you're on a hot streak, you're on a winning streak, you can continue it, or if you're struggling, you know if you're going to Chicago to play the White Sox or they're coming to your town, all right, we can get a series win here. We may even get a sweep here. Try to right the wrongs or continue the momentum. They were the better team for eight innings, or I should say seven and
a half
innings.
They're pitching better this year than last year. As I mentioned, they have 5 wins this year of 7-plus runs. That leads Major League Baseball. Problem is they still have 10 wins.
Man, they were so good for 7.5 innings in that one. I mean, their starting pitcher went 6 1/3. He gave up 1 earned run. He had a great start. And then things started to completely fall apart, right? You had it was a tough grab in the eighth inning that left fielder could have made.
And the pitcher was named Boozer. I mean, that was freaking awesome.
But he missed it, right? And then the ninth inning was just a cataclysmic collapse. I mean, off the dome, really? I mean, to off the dome. It's one thing to just like miss the ball or Billy Buckner it between your legs.
Yeah.
But how fitting for the Chicago White Sox to let that one come right off the top of your skull, and the look of confusion on the guy's face as if like he didn't know what just happened as he's looking in the air for the baseball. Right fielder gets it and has an opportunity to throw out the runner at second base. Yep. I mean, the right fielder makes a reasonable throw there. He's got him. But for some reason, he feels that it's necessary for him to throw that thing at Mach 10, way out past the shortstop, way out into left field. And all of a sudden, you've got runners on first and second. And it sets up Bobby Witt Jr. to ultimately hit the walk-off. And I know that there's people that are that are saying, like, you know, Robert should have caught that ball. It wouldn't have mattered.
If he catches it, then they're going to tag up.
Runners on second and third with one out in the inning. It wouldn't have mattered. That's going to be a sacrifice fly. Game over anyway. It just counts as a hit for Bobby Witt Jr. instead of a sacrifice fly. My God, they're not worse than they were last year, but they are still god-awful.
I mean, that is just laughable. It's just... And Major League Baseball had to take over for a few teams, their broadcast rights, you know, like, the, for instance, the Diamondbacks. They're now, they took over, Major League Baseball took over three teams' rights last year, right? They had to move the White Sox to Comedy Central. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. Like, that is the best comedy that we have. I mean, it's reality TV that's best, but the White Sox deserve to be on Comedy Central because I don't think I've laughed that hard at a TV show I've watched lately. I mean, comedy must be bad or whatever, but... I haven't laughed. I've said it live. It's not been as funny. The White Sox are as funny as anything, Logan. I'll be honest with you. Watching that game, it's like they handed it right to you. And you know what? With the Rockies, they have the worst record in baseball. They're actually worse than the White Sox. I'd love to see a matchup. And it's going to be great when those teams play. It's going to be it's going to be epic. But the Rockies, the Royals took advantage of the Rockies. They're taking advantage of the White Sox. Yeah, they're sitting five games over 500. How's that happen? What happens when you take advantage of beating crappy teams?
Absolutely. I need somebody out there to take that ninth inning, the bottom of the ninth.
Put it in the loop.
Just grab the clips, put them together, and set it to, I don't care if it's circus music, I don't care if it's Abbott and Costello, whatever. I need some like, dun 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 dun, because it was an absolute circus. It was a fiasco in that ninth inning. And it was ultimately very, very fitting for how bad this White Sox team has been.
Pulling the second baseman off when you're throwing the second, that's where another guy was safe. There's another comedy of errors that they had. They couldn't even throw it to the bag right. It just all melted down. And you talk about, you know, teams melt down when they play the Chiefs at the end of the game because they're, well, the Royals haven't got to that stature yet. You shouldn't be melting down. And from each knew was going to happen. And then Chicago goes with the five infielders. Like, that was going to scare Bobby. Like, don't do it. Don't do it. What's Bobby do? He just plants it in the outfield. Luis Robert puts it up against the fence. Bobby wasn't about to be scared about that.
The 1-0 pitch. High fly ball. Center field's going to end the game, whether he catches it or not. He doesn't. It just drops, and the Royals win it. What a way to end the game.
I mean, that was low-key. One of my favorite calls of Denny all time. I mean, just listen to this.
The 1-0 pitch. High fly ball. Center field's going to end the game, whether he catches it or not. He doesn't.
He doesn't. Whether he catches it's a free base hit for Bobby.
He doesn't. That's awesome. Drew, I felt like I was watching the Bengals draft.
I mean, the fact that the Royals took advantage of it, I think this is... It's as much about the White Sox as it is about the Royals, I guess, in the sense where, you know, you can make fun of the White Sox and everything, which is great, and it's fun to do, but also the being able to take advantage of it because, I mean, it was no outs and bases loaded. Then it got to one out and bases loaded. Bobby comes up and it's like, all right, well, if he does ground out for some reason, it's a double play. They go to extra innings, and they might, like, you could... We're on the good side of it, I think, today, but you also could have been on the bad side where the same Royals offense that we've seen over the last 3 weeks has shown up. And they ground onto the double play. They end up losing the game in extra innings, and it's still just as bad of a loss, regardless of how stupid the White Sox look. You know, the fact that they were able to come through and get the job done is obviously great.
Not only that, but just the facial expressions of their players. There was frustration with the White Sox. It was that look of, I can't believe I'm here.
Not again.
But if you're the Royals, and how could you just burst out in laughter? I mean, seriously, when that game was handed to you, you know you're playing the White Sox. They had to have been laughing.
Well, did you see my Kel Garcia's reaction on the bench?
Yeah.
After the play, after the ball hit that guy on the dome on second base, he starts jumping up and down along the fence line of the dugout, laughing hysterically next to Salvador Perez. Like, they understood how comedically bad the Chicago White Sox had been. But let's not take away from some pretty outstanding performances for the Royals. Just, I mean, Seth Lugo pitched another gem. He got himself in some tight spots. He gave up 7 hits. He walked 3, but he worked through it. He only gave up 1 earned run.
Yeah, and X would have had you thinking the Royals lost.
Yes.
They were a lot of Lugo, you know, oh, he's not good tonight. Come on, man. Lugo was fine. It was good after a quality start. Whatever. Everybody was so negative until they won.
Yeah, I mean, he played.
And Cam Boozer's reaction was so awesome for the White Sox. That was another one of those guys, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, no. I mean, he did enough. I mean, if not for the faux pas at second base, I'm not sure they give up a run in that situation, right? And now we're heading to extra innings, although he did give up 3 hits in that inning. One of them to Bobby, which would have been a catch rather than, you know, just letting it drop because it wouldn't have mattered whether it was just one of those.
Catch it or not. He doesn't, for the record.
How about Freddie Fermin with 2 bunt singles?
Dude.
2 bunt singles.
Find me
in
a better bunting
catcher,
Logan.
For Freddie Fermin. How about it? I cannot believe. When was the last time somebody had 2 bunt singles in a baseball game?
Catcher with wheels.
Probably been a long time.
Speaking of catchers, I saw this stat the other day, and this is mind-boggling to me. I saw a stat of the number of stolen bases allowed by different teams in Major League Baseball, and there was one, like the Colorado Rockies or somebody had given up like 60 stolen bases this year, and I gotta find it. I gotta find it because
I
don't want to.
Got 50 of them.
I don't want to give up. Yeah, the Miami Marlins have given up 60 stolen bases. This was as of yesterday. They'd given up 60 stolen season. Most in the league. Fewest in the league, Kansas City Royals. They've given up 6 stolen bases. Freddie Fermin and Salvador Perez behind the dish, baby. That's insane.
Lugo was outstanding. You think about Perez, that bat's, you know, starting to come around with Sal. You know, 1-for-3 last night, but starting to come around. Vinny
had 2 knocks yesterday.
I mean, Vinny's bat's starting to come around again. He's over the Mendoza line now.
Yep.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, these guys, get these other guys producing. And that way, if, you know, Bobby has a slump, which he's probably not going to have, but if he does, the team is fine. The team functions and goes forward. But, yeah, but Seth Lugo, you know what? 6 2/3 is 7 hits. Like 1 earned run. Yeah. 1 earned run, yet everybody would have had you believe that he was terrible.
Yeah, he works himself out of situations, right? He is so good at getting himself deep into games. Yeah, he's going to give up hits. He's going to give up walks. He's not, I mean, he had a tremendous amount of strikeouts last year, but he's not a power pitcher the way that Cole Reagans is, right? He doesn't throw high 90s. He locates his stuff well. He's got tremendous breaking balls and a variety of pitches, right? What has he got, 13, 14 pitches in his repertoire, which is insane. So he keeps guys on their toes. He keeps guys guessing, and he is comfortable in uncomfortable spots is how I would describe Seth Lugo. A lot of guys, if they give up a walk and a base hit and they've got runners on 1st and 3rd and nobody out in the inning, some guys, you know, things might get a little tight, a little tense for him in that situation. Seth Lugo said, screw it. I've been here before. I'm going to continue to work. I'm going to try to get myself out of the situation. Hey, you know, let's get a strikeout here. Let's get a double play ground out to end the inning. And we're on to the next frame, right? Yeah, you gave up a hit. You gave up a walk in the inning. That's not great, but I'm not giving up a ton of earned runs here. I'm going to give my team the best chance to win.
4th consecutive quality starts. He had a quality start in 5 out of the 8 this year. By the way, since 2024, he's held opponents less than 2 earned runs or fewer in 15 of his 22 starts at the K. That'll play.
And that's your number 2, right? That's your number 2 starter in your rotation, because you've got a perennial Cy Young candidate in Cole Reagans, who has twice as many double-digit strikeout games as anybody else in the league. And then you've got a phenomenal number 3 starter in Michael Wacha, and 2 guys punching well above their weight right now in Michael Lorenzen and Chris Bubich, fresh off of Tommy John surgery with a sub-2 ERA.
And as far as the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965, Boozer the Loser. From the 816. Hey, Cam Boozer's a great name, but he looked pissed.
Yeah.
When he couldn't believe what was happening. He's like, are you serious, guys? Like, I want to get this game. Are you serious, guys? Is this really happening?
He's off to a tough start. He's 0-3 with a 5.4 ERA out of the pen.
That's not
By the
great.
Way, Drew, speaking of the text line, one-way Drew because of not
certainly
going
don't
out.
Go both ways.
Well, just get yourself something, not us. Here's another one. I understand it's okay to have them prepay for their items. The offer to pick up is not an offer to pay. One of my favorite sayings is, you buy, I'll fly. Bink could have offered to pay. All good. Have a great. I did. I would have offered to pay. I wouldn't say, hey, you put it on your tab, Drew. I would have offered to pay. But many people consider what you did Bush League.
I mean, I wasn't planning to say anything. You asked where I was going. I didn't say, hey, I'm leaving, and then just left. You know, you asked where I was going.
You kind of did. You were in a hurry. So gas station. I thought.
He did mention to us multiple times that when we were done with the rundown, he was going to be heading over to the.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
There were a couple of different opportunities where if we wanted to say something, we could have.
I didn't hear that part except for going to the gas station. Boom! He was out the door fast. I mean,
well, it was 10:40. I had to. Or 9:40. I had to go before the show started.
Yeah, regardless, I'll know
Anyways,
better now.
Well, so okay, so. Post-draft, like a couple days after, in the process, Jeremy Fowler came out with something regarding Josh Simmons. And I saw it then. We didn't really talk about it, I don't think, much on this show. But then, Logan, you saw it, and it reminded me of the potential conversation around this. That a lot of teams, because everybody talked about Josh Simmons and the patella injury and all that other stuff, and it's a concern for the offensive linemen. But it seems like, according to Jeremy Fowler's report, teams weren't worried about the injury as much as they were maturity or character issues, which to me was surprising because
concerns. Yeah.
Because we didn't hear anything about it. Bink, I don't know if you and Chris heard anything about it in the lead up, but it seemed like it wasn't getting reported on at all whatsoever, other than just the injury thing for Josh Simmons. There was nothing that we heard as far as maturity or character issues were concerned until like the week of the draft really is when this came up.
That's a concern sometimes when it's effort, practice, how you
is that things. What it was? Is that what the issue was?
I don't know. I don't put a lot of stock into any of it, though, Logan, to be honest with you. There's so much crap out there about these players. Half of it's true, half of it's not. And I'm not buying because there's so much different information. Mm-hmm. You heard Ryan Nutt, who's the director of college scouting and for the Chiefs, talking about college football and how the transfer portal has changed the way that they have to evaluate players. Because on one hand, you might have a school crap on that player. You leave, you hit the transfer portal, they're going to have nothing good to say about you. Nothing. And then, of course, your new school probably will. Or in a case, you have to be careful, like James Franklin, Penn State. Perbula is transferring to Missouri, their quarterback. He did play some for Penn State, and he actually transferred at a bad time. It was before the playoffs, but he had to because of the transfer portal window.
Right.
So, but he was on board with Bo Perilla. He was like, okay, go ahead and go. He understood it. So you're probably going to get a good recommendation from him. That doesn't always happen. So whenever I hear things about certain players, kind of take it with a grain of salt, especially if they've been in the transfer portal because you don't know if you're getting good information or not.
And a guy like Josh Simmons, that could play a factor. He started out his career at San Diego State. He was a phenomenal player there.
Clean slate here.
Used that to, you know, catapult himself up to Ohio State. And you're right, Drew. I don't know if we were living under a rock or whatever it was.
It wasn't getting reported.
I hadn't heard anything about possible shameless plug for Bink character concerns.
Yes.
I hadn't heard anything about that. Everything I had heard about the concerns with him were the patella tendon injury. And so when I read this article from Jeremy Fowler, I was kind of surprised by it, where these executives are like, no, the injury wasn't the issue. Apparently, he doesn't always exhibit a tremendous amount of effort in practices, and he doesn't always buy into run blocking. And I read that, and I'm like, okay, I'm not concerned about that at all. That does not deter me one bit showing up to Kansas City to play under Andy Heck and Andy Reid and what these guys provide. I mean, Andy Reid's an offensive line guy. He always has been. And I'm not sure he has brought in, I mean, I'm definitely sure he hasn't brought in a tackle of this level of talent and athleticism as Josh Simmons is. I mean, you've had some talented guys, right? Eric Fisher did some good things in hindsight. At the time, we were all dogging on him, but now I wish we all think Eric Fisher should have stuck around for another 4 or 5 years to play tackle for the Chiefs because it's been a dumpster fire since he left. I also think that you look at it he's going to buy into what this Chiefs team wants from him. I mean, you're not going to get on the field if you're not going to run block. You're not going to get on the field if you don't practice hard. And when you've got guys like Andy Reid and Andy Heck and, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith that are trying to push you, right? When you may have to line up in one-on-ones against Chris Jones or George Karloftis, buddy, you're going to have to buy in pretty damn quick or you're not going to end up on this football field and you may end up out of the league pretty soon. He's going to have that come to Jesus meeting, and I think it's going to happen sooner rather than later. I have no issue. And now that I'm hearing that executives weren't concerned about the patella tendon, I'm actually more on board with the possibility that he could be a day one starter for this Kansas City Chiefs team.
Well, it depends. Scouts had various things to say about it. One scout said kind of a F blank. Another scout said his issues are more football character. He has a complete blank sense of urgency, like a total finesse player. Mental is an issue. See, you hear these things, but you can hear this almost anybody, right? You hear this almost anybody. Teddy Bridgewater was compared to Willie Beeman from the movie character.
From Any Given Sunday? I mean,
so these are ridiculous. And I'm not a huge Josh Simmons fan. I made that clear. It was nothing about this whole football and the injury. Like, it's injury related. It has nothing to do with the character concerns. Because, again, it depends on who you're talking to, what kind of axe to grind with certain players. But it's a different deal. When you walk in here, it's a different situation. You're walking in when banners are flying.
Yeah.
You're walking in when the head coach is number two all time in postseason wins. You're walking in when the quarterback is only to Tom Brady as far as postseason wins.
I mean, let's not act like at MVP. Ohio State, though, he wasn't walking into the one of the best programs in the I don't think we can act like he was at San Diego State the whole time.
No, he was. He was at San Diego State. San Diego guy transfers to Ohio State. Of course, wasn't on the championship run. He got hurt in October, wasn't in November, wasn't in the college football playoffs, had nothing to do with their national title.
Which is part of your knock against him, I think. I mean, a big part of that,
it was football-related things with the injury, because I think the injury is a freak injury that NFL teams aren't used to, those patellar injuries, and it's kind of an outside-the-box. I did not care about the character concerns,
Did you guys know that Josh Simmons and Patrick Mahomes have something in common?
What is that?
Both of their fathers played Major League Baseball.
That's right. He did play for baseball.
Josh Simmons' dad played 3 years in the Major Leagues.
He wasn't a very good player, but yeah. But he played.
That certainly counts
for something.
Pat Mahomes
Sr. was a better player.
That's fair.
Did your dad play pro baseball, Drew?
No, he was recruited by D1 schools until he blew out his knee.
Do you have time to go run a quick trip?
During the break?
I'm kidding.
Get off this man's back.
I'm kidding, Drew. I'm totally kidding. By the way, Josh Vernier joins us later. Looking forward to talking some Royals with the ultimate Royals insider. But coming up next, Jack.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50
and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Watch. Welcome back to Cody and Gold. Jay Binkley, Logan Weber, Drew Nixon. We're here for the rest of the week. We get the Royals tomorrow. A little afternoon baseball for the Kansas City Royals. A little afternoon delight in the Chicago White Sox.
Trying to finish things up here against the lowly White Sox.
Yeah, that's right. Tell me something good, though, Drew. What about Jack? Let's do a Jack watch.
That went over the scoreboard.
That sounded good.
Another Jack for Jack.
That's a good one.
Jack watch.
He's on fire, Pink. He's on fire.
He is on fire. Logan had an interesting tweet or text from the text line about Jack.
Yeah, somebody...
Some misinformation.
Somebody had texted in and said, hey, guys, random question, but a lady was arguing with me at the Royals game last night. Didn't Jack Caglione get called up to AAA a few days ago, or am I tripping? You're tripping.
Dude's tripping, man.
I hate to be the one to tell you that.
You lost the argument. That lady was right, and you were wrong.
He's still in AA. In fact, yesterday hit two home runs during a day game against Wichita, both of them to opposite field, including a three-run home run. He's now got four homers in his last three games. He hit one on Saturday with Drew and Cody and Gold and all the Royals That's fans right. from up here at 96.5 that came down and were in attendance. He hit another one on Sunday and then hit two more yesterday. Four in three games. He's now hitting .330 on the year. His OPS is up over one, which is unbelievable.
Crazy good.
And as if the conversations weren't already deafening, they're somehow louder for calling up Jack Caglione. But it sounds like, according to J.J. Piccolo in the Royals front office, they're still not willing to rush this thing.
I'm to the point of rushing it. And I'll say this. Jack Caglione or the Chicago White Sox. How many Jacks would it take to beat the White Sox? Like, we talk about the 100 guys in the gorilla. How many Jacks could beat the White Sox? I'm saying just one.
Six.
And a mini Caglione as it is. Not a full-size one.
How many would it take, like, if it's only Jack?
Yeah, just Jack.
Nine.
I don't know, man.
I say six.
I think just one could
maybe
do it.
Play Jack at all positions. No, I'm saying play him at all nine positions and then have him pitch.
Oh, they'd probably beat the White. Yeah, he can pitch. He's a good pitcher.
He is a good pitcher.
They'd probably win that game 15-0.
I was thinking six. You have a Jack to pitch. You have one catching. You got two guys, one that's kind of playing in that shortstop area.
And he would scare them. They'd probably the ball bounce off their heads and everything like last
night. You got two guys kind of split in the infield, two guys split in the outfield. Yeah. We're off and running. And then you got six guys in the order that could probably hit, I don't know, three or four home runs between the group of them in a nine-inning game.
The best thing about the Jack watch is that this Royals team's good. Like, it's one thing if the team is crappy like the White Sox, and you got a guy down in the minor leagues tearing things up. And you're like, just give us something to watch. Just get up here and just give us something to watch. For the Royals, it's fun because your team is good. And you know help is on the way. And it's not like, let's just call him up and see what he can do. Let's call him up and have him help this team. That's the beautiful thing about it is that the fact that fans look at this guy, they can help him along. This could be that addition that you have later on the summer where, of course, you want to see him play, but he can actually help this team. And I think that's the big difference between somebody like the Rockies or White Sox calling somebody up. This team can actually use him. It reminds me of those days when you sit there and watch what Hosmer's doing and Moose. And those guys are tearing up Texas League and then Omaha. And then, like, when Locate and they traded for that, and so you're following what he's doing in Omaha. It's just fun.
There's no pressure on him, or at least there's not as much pressure as would be the case, like you were saying, if he played for an organization like Colorado, or even if he would have been on this Royals team. Like the same situation Bobby Witt Jr. was in a few years ago, right? The Royals are playing bad baseball. Hey, we need this guy. We need him really bad.
He was Could be our savior.
Yeah, he was the number two overall pick. We need this guy to help with the offense. And obviously, Bobby Witt Jr. was able to take that in stride and help this team win. And he's helped them take massive leaps to get to the point where they're at now, where they can really become a perennial playoff contender every single year. I don't want to say a championship contender, but a playoff contender. And Jack Caglione is in a perfect position right now where I think that the offense is getting better. The pitching is outstanding. They're going to be in games where Jack can come in and help this team win, but he doesn't have to, right? I think that's a mindset thing where I look at, and again, I'm kind of hearkening back to my time in Springfield covering both the Royals and the St. Louis Cardinals. And if you're familiar with the St. Louis Cardinals, they had a prospect a few years ago, Jordan Walker, who was at one point or another, I think he was like the number three prospect or number four prospect in all of baseball. Massive individual, 6'4", 230, looked like a linebacker or a defensive end. I mean, playing baseball, outstanding athlete, tremendous pop. But the Cardinals have completely and utterly mismanaged his career. They called him up far before he was ready. They changed his philosophy at the plate. They took him from being a line drive gap hitter, right? A doubles and triples kind of guy because he's got plus speed. And they tried to change him. They tried to change his launch angle, try to make him be a long ball hitter. And in the midst of doing that, they call him up to the major leagues and he plays bad. And after about 60 games, they sent him back down to Memphis.
Like Jackson Holliday with the Orioles last year.
Yes, they sent him back down and he never really found it again. And then at the end of the year, they called him back up and they played him every day. They're like, I don't care what he's hitting. I don't care if he's seeing the ball like a beach ball or a ping pong ball. He's playing every day. And now he's back again this season. He's sort of in this platoon outfield thing and he's hitting below the Mendoza line for a guy that was a top five prospect in baseball 2 years ago. And that's always been my fear with this Royals team is that you don't give Jack Caglione enough time to get comfortable, right? Because the biggest thing is he's got to learn how to play right field or left field or whatever the situation calls for. Because, and I know that there's people that are saying, you know, should Jack play first base next year? I know that Vinny's off to a slow start. No, Vinny Pasquantino should still be your first baseman. That, I mean, from a what he did last year standpoint, from what he provides in terms of fielding, having a bat like Vinny and Cags in the same lineup is perfect. It allows Salvi to split time between catching and DHing. It extends his career further, allows Fermin to catch. I like what the Royals are doing right now, not rushing this situation. And if I'm being completely honest with myself, if you're not going to call up Jack Caglione on June 1st, Jack Caglione should not make the Major League Ball Club this year. I don't want to see them waste a service year on a guy like Jack Caglione by playing him half the season. That doesn't make any sense to me. I say you give him another month here in AA. June 1st, you reevaluate if he's still hitting the ball really well. He's hitting above 300. That OPS is still hovering around one. Okay, let's make the move to Omaha. June, July, August, the guy's playing in the minors, and then spring training, day one next year, he's your right fielder. He's your day one starter and right fielder on opening day next season. He begins his time in the show, and he becomes the proverbial favorite to win the AL Rookie of the Year award.
The bottom line is, you look at it and say, okay, this could help. Like, this could help the Royals. That's how you view him. Not just fun to go watch him hit a bunch of, you know, long-distance home runs. It's like, this guy can actually help the Royals. This is something they need. They've struggled in the outfield. Power has been an issue, except for that one day in Baltimore. Power has been an issue with this team, and it's got to solve both those problems. He's fun to go watch. The one thing is, this organization's in a great place. When you have a guy like Bobby Witt Jr. to go see every day, that's just luxury to have that quality of player in your town. Now you're going to have Jack. So you've got a couple fan favorites. Oh, by the way, Sal Perez is still a fan favorite here. And we're not even talking about those guys that go out and just shove it every day, like Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans. Fortunate spot. Two of the top four in the Cy Young voting last year. I mean, this team is loaded top and bottom. So I say don't hurry. Because last year, the Orioles, I know Jackson Holliday's having a better year this year, but they kind of ruined him there at the beginning. And they had to send him on back to the minor leagues. They brought him up too early. It's such a good commodity. You just have to wait on it. But I will say this. Being a college player helps. And that transition is shorter and shorter between college players and pro baseball than it used to be.
Yeah, look at Paul Skeens.
And that Skeens, perfect example. That's the biggest difference between football and baseball. Football, you can make up for anything, just your physical ability. Baseball is such a mental game. Like I said, hitting the ball 3 out of every 10 times puts you in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. If you're a career 300 hitter, it puts you in the Hall of Fame. It's such a mental thing. Like, that's what you have to be careful of. And sometimes you want to rush them. It's that football mentality. Hey, just let them start right away. Because we see rookies in the NFL start right away. And they step right on and they go. Because that's what they do. Baseball takes a while because of the whole mental aspect. Sometimes I think teams take too long with it. Sometimes I think the system of you must play A ball, you must play double A, you must play triple A. Sometimes I think that's overrated. Things are meant to be changed at times in sports. We've seen so many things changed in the game of sports. Whoever thought there'd be a pitch clock? Yeah. Like they have now, but things change. And just because that's the way you've done it doesn't mean it's the way you have to do it. But I think more and more guys taking shorter time to get to the pros, but you don't want to screw it up. And that's the biggest difference in that football mentality of that we have here in Kansas City. Like, hey, get in there and play. Let's go. Get in there and go. I mean, having the fortunate experience, like Mahomes sitting for a year, actually probably helped him.
Oh,
being behind Alex Smith, as much as that seems silly that this guy wins the MVP the next year, like they had that kind of talent on their team, I do wish they would have put Mahomes in halftime of that Titans game, but that's beside the point. But I think that they were fortunate to have Alex Smith here so Mahomes could sit behind him. But typically, I didn't have him in football or baseball.
I think with a situation like Mahomes and how it pertains to what Jack Caglione has got going on right now, what Bobby Witt Jr. was dealing with a few years ago, is, yeah, the game of baseball, the talent disparity, I think, has shortened, right? You've got technology and the weight. I mean, all these things that have allowed for younger guys to become so much more talented, so much more quickly than we're accustomed to. What I think the most important aspect of this minor league journey for Cags before he gets to the show, and what was so important for Mahomes is, yeah, the talent's there. That's obvious. It's there in spades, right? Jack Caglione, when he gets it all figured out and he puts it all together, he's a 40 home run a year guy, which is going to be phenomenal to watch in that Royals lineup.
Can this guy cut it or not? Mentally, is he tough or not? He's proven he can.
Yes.
Like, you know this guy's got it mentally.
The thing he's having to adjust to is the professionalism of what it means to be a pro, what it means to play pro baseball versus college baseball, right? It's a different mindset for these guys. And
I will say this, playing in the SEC is probably better than playing an A ball in double A, to be honest with you.
It could be to some extent,
the SEC,
yes.
Is that. This isn't about me being SEC homer or whatever, but SEC is very good baseball.
Yes. I agree with you. And with NIL and the transfer, right, guys are learning how to manage money and manage expectations and things like that a little bit more than they were previously. But Mahomes talks about it, right? What was so beneficial to him his rookie year sitting under Alex Smith was he learned how to be a professional. He learned, okay, I got to be the first one in the build. And Alex talks about it, right? He's like, the first couple of weeks was all it took. And then he started beating me into the building every day. He started beating me into the film room. He started beating me into the weight room. He started watching more film than I was watching. He started speaking up in meetings. And that is what sitting behind Alex Smith as a rookie allowed Patrick Mahomes to become,
which is rare to have a veteran like Alex Smith mentoring somebody that came in to take his job.
Yes. And what minor league baseball does that maybe college baseball doesn't do a ton of is the scouting and the sitting down and watching film and going through what your swing looks like and what pitches are you hitting well, what pitches aren't you hitting well, what should you lay off on? Okay, am I getting hit with a lot more high and inside fastballs on first strike pitches and whatever it might be? It's the mental side, it's the professionalism side of the game of sport that I think is most beneficial for Jack Caglione right now. And by allowing him to just continue, again, we talked about it yesterday. I know that everybody wants to see him show up. Bobby Witt Jr. played 60 games of double A and then 60 games of triple A before he got to the majors. for Jack Caglione to get called up tomorrow to bypass AAA entirely and get to the big show, it's not unprecedented, but he will do that with less than 30 games of AA experience and no AAA experience. The guy doesn't even have 30 minor league games on his belt right now, and you'd be calling him up to the pinnacle of the sport of baseball.
But that wouldn't be an option because they use AAA. It's what they do. It's what the Royals do. It just you have to figure out, is he mentally fragile? And I don't think he is. Like, you look at a lot of guys, are they ready for the major leagues? No, they're mentally insecure. He's not. Like, you can tell right away, you either have it or you don't. And some of these guys that get called up and they failed, they're mentally weak. Jack Caglione doesn't seem like that. And the Royals are finding that out quickly. This guy's not made like this.
No, I mean, even go back to college. Like, his it factor is certainly there. And the patience of the Royals is good. Them being as good as they are, to your guys' point, is allowing them to be patient and not feel like they have to rush him up, which obviously is not only benefit.
Which is great because it is a position of need.
Honestly, it's beneficial to not only the Royals because you don't need him right now, but it also is beneficial to Jack for allowing him to make sure that he's fully on ready to go. And you know, his time's going to come, and he's going to be ready for it because of how the Royals are handling this thing. Meanwhile, you can argue, you know, how the Cowboys and the Steelers are handling a certain situation. If you woke up this morning, you would have seen Logan. I'm surprised. I thought you would have known this before you got in. Logan comes in. You were gone at the moment, Bank. He comes in, sees that.
Is this when you guys were discussing breakfast at Quick Trip?
No. Sees the breaking news that George Pickens was traded from the Steelers to the Cowboys. He's like, wait a minute. This trade happened? I was like, yeah. So, and you go and you look at it and you're like, it's interesting because Logan's first reaction was, what are the Steelers doing?
Yep.
And you can also, I think, have the same reaction as to what are the Cowboys doing? They gave up a third and I believe a fifth round pick or a future sixth round pick as well.
Pretty good for a second round pick.
For George Pickens, which it feels like a little bit too much to give up maybe, but then again, they want to pair CeeDee Lamb with somebody who they feel like is reliable.
Yeah, and Dallas is dumb.
It feels like what are they doing on both sides for this trade? Again, George Pickens is now a Dallas Cowboy.
Yeah, that's great. Another diva in Dallas. Exactly what they needed. No, it was great because rarely do Bob and Dusty have breaking news at 5:50 in the morning, right?
Yeah. Early when it happened?
Yeah, it was like 5:30 a.m. It was right before the show.
It broke at 7 a.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, it was right before the show. I remember Dusty and Bob, when they first came on the air, they were talking about it. That was that. Because rarely does that happen. Usually it's during this show or Carrington show, breaking news. But this broke with Dusty and Bob, right? They were like right there with it. I go on with them at 6:45 every Wednesday, usually talking college football or at some point, but obviously not as much to talk about now. But we talked about the Pickens thing. I just said I kind of laughed because if there's one place and one person that could handle George Pickens and his prima donna diva attitude, it's Mike Tomlin. And it's worked. He's got over 100 catches the last 2 years. Like, he's found a way to make it work. Now, Dallas, clearly, it'll have to be a new contract situation as they keep getting these contract situations, like they did CeeDee, like they did Dak, like they're with Mike.
Going to have to do with Micah Parsons.
You're going to have it with George Pickens. Because George Pickens, he's also the type of guy that'll come on the sidelines and throw a fit like a baby when CeeDee Lamb's catching more passes than him. So they're going to have to deal with that. But it's a Dallas problem. I just looked at it and said, this is weird because there's one thing Pittsburgh could be scary at, even though they don't have a quarterback. Which should scare them, unless it's going to be Aaron Rodgers, is that it's not Pickens and Metcalf. That would actually be a nice little tandem. That would actually be something Pittsburgh. They're already losing Najee.
Right.
He went to the Chargers. Thinking about Pickens with Metcalf, that would be kind of a pleasant thought. And I went over the 2022 wide receiver class for you. It sucked.
Would it actually be a good thing to see George Pickens with Metcalf?
It's a talented wide receiver
group. It looks good until DK Metcalf is mad because George Pickens is getting the reps, and then he's mad at Kenny Pickett, who's mad at, or whoever the hell the quarterback is at this point, Mason Rudolph.
Kenny Pickett probably is it's Kenny Pickett's gone.
Mason Rudolph. I'm saying it's Mason Rudolph. But, I mean, or it's going to be George Pickens whining and complaining that he's not getting the ball because DK, it would look really good. There'd be some moments where you're like, this is exactly what Pittsburgh needs, but you'd also have the one or two moments where it's a complete dumpster fire and neither of the guys are focused. One, because the quarterback stinks. Two, because they're not getting the ball and the other guy is. And it turns into just a whole problem. It's two,
Jerry talked about
two
this.
Number ones in the same room that both have a history of call it diva if you want to, but passionate enthusiasm for them getting the ball more than anybody else. And those two people in the same room can be dangerous.
But Tomlin can handle that. Like, Tomlin can handle that.
Yeah, but for him to handle all the guys that he's handled previously, for him to only last 2.5 or 3 years with George Pickens, I think it goes to show you as well, George Pickens is, I mean, he might be the cream of the crop in terms of, I'm not handling this guy. I'm done. And I'm very happy to get rid of George Pickens.
Well, Jerry Jones has been talking about
Mike Tomlin's
this.
Mind.
Don't forget, Jerry Jones went to the doctor, and he's got the brain of a 40-year-old, according to him, when they did the test.
Of course Dallas made this trade, too. Of course
America's team, yeah, Dallas. I hate Dallas, by the way.
It's a big splash.
I say that in sarcasm.
It is. It's the big splash that we've been waiting on the Cowboys to do for nearly half a decade.
I think that also could be a mess,
Jones talked about this before the draft. He said, can get some deals in the works. And you know what? This news is actually broken by a dude from Odyssey that works with the station down there in Dallas. And so Rappaport and all these guys are, hey, actually first on the scene was
how about that?
Whatever this guy's Twitter handle was for that Odyssey station, which is crazy because whenever news breaks, everybody's like, so-and-so was first. Someone, who cares, man? Just give us the information. I don't care who was first, who was second.
Right.
Who was to be honest with you, I really don't. Just get it right.
I think this tells us that Brian Schottenheimer is planning on chucking the football.
They still have no running back, right?
They have no running back. You know, Dak got hurt last year, but the previous season he led the NFL in pass attempts. I think that you will see something similar.
They had to bring Zeke back last year. It's so bad.
Yeah, I mean, it
Deuce
was
is still there.
That's right.
They are going to throw the ball a lot next season, I have to imagine. And on paper, it looks great. I mean, having
Dak. They did draft Blue, Jaden Blue from
they
Texas.
They did. Yeah, having him and.
They also have Javonte Williams. I actually forgot about that. So they actually have a decent little crew.
Yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, can they get all those personalities to work well together? I agree with you. I thought the Steelers on paper, that group looked great on paper. Pickens and DK Metcalf, Pat Freiermuth at tight end. And, you know, I know they lost Najee Harris, but, you know, keep an eye out, Steelers fans. Caleb Johnson from the University of Iowa has arrived, so things will be fine.
I know you're an Iowa homer, Logan. I know you're Iowa homer, but that actually is a perfect fit.
Yes, phenomenal fit.
He fits the Steelers perfectly.
Phenomenal fit. I was very, very happy when I saw that he was going there. But
I remember Najee Harris when he was drafted by the Steelers. He's with the Chargers now. We did this draft in honor of Terrence Paylor back when he passed, and I had the Steelers pick. And so it was really easy for me to go Najee Harris because you know that's where he went. I mean,
right.
It was such an easy
get a guy
fit.
That runs the football all the time. What does Iowa do? They run the football all the time and really
correct.
Well.
Same
that,
uniforms.
That they do.
It fits.
Hey, he just stays in the black and gold, baby. It works out just fine. But yeah, I feel bad for DK Metcalf a little bit. Because, like, he's in Seattle. They cut Tyler Lockett. They trade Geno Smith. And he's like, you know what? I don't want to be here anymore. Like, get me out of here. They're like, okay, we'll send you to Pittsburgh and pair you with George Pickens. Oh, that's great. Pittsburgh a month later. We're getting rid of George Pickens, and we don't have a quarterback.
We might have Aaron Rodgers, though.
DK's like, what am I doing here? I just left a bad situation for a worse one somehow. I mean, the defense is great, and it's going to keep you in games.
Sandwiches. You ever had those? Pittsburgh, pretty good stuff.
I don't know. I don't know. DK Metcalf seems to have made a bad decision on his part trying to leave Seattle because he would have had Emeka Ibuka and Sam Darnold.
He should actually be a Chief. DK Metcalf. No, seriously, they were thinking about drafting him. And that would have been nice. Take a time out. We come back. I'm going to go to a quick trip in the break here. I'm trying to get a drink since Drew wouldn't do it. Come up next, CDOT tweeted out something that was pretty interesting. Let's discuss it.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.